Just as I came to start worshiping this morning, I pulled the headset apart into millions of pieces. This morning, I'm going to have to go old school. Great to have you along. We're in a series called The Father's Heart, and the Father's Heart, the design of it is really to realize that God's heart for you and for me is for our good. That everything that God does for you and me is so that we can be in the place where we are whole and we are in His goodness and we are living in that goodness within ourselves. And so as we move through this, I trust that you have that understanding that God is for our good. That God wants us to be whole and to be healed and to live in the way that He's already created us, always created us to be. So as we come to His Word, let's pray together. Loving God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence amongst us. We thank You that we're able to worship. We're able to lift up our hearts and our minds to You. And right now, Lord, we just say, God, we're here, we're ready. Lord, come and speak to us. Come and help us move forward in our faith. Lord, come and help us to remove blockages that we may have. And help us, Lord, to live in Your glory. Live life and life in all its fullness. Live as people who shine Your light and make a difference in this world. So Lord, come, continue to take us on this journey, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was younger, and maybe this has happened to you, but I used to be afraid of the dark until I got bigger than the dark, and then I wasn't afraid of the dark anymore. But I used to be afraid of the dark, and a lot of people are, because in the dark, you don't know what's there. And so when you're a young fellow like me, you would turn the light on in the room and you could see that nothing was there. But then when you turn the light off and put your head down the pillow and you heard a little creak and a groan, you go, your imagination starts to take over, doesn't it? You go, oh my goodness, what's there? That still happens to me in this place. If I'm here alone, this ceiling creaks. It's really, and I'm sitting in my office and I hear this groan going on. I'm going, who's in the building? Now, normally I can hear when someone's rattling around to get in, but occasionally I still find myself walking out and going, oh, it's just the sauna, as I like to call it, that we live in. But that's the thing about being afraid of the dark, isn't it? That you can know in your mind that there's nothing in the room, but when the lights go out, you go, oh my God, well maybe something different happened that I can't see, that I can't do anything about. And then you get to a point, well maybe it's just me, but I got to a point where I stopped being afraid of the dark and I started to realize that I could hide things in the dark. I stop being afraid of what could be there and I start to realize that I could start placing things there. Not physical things, but emotional things. That I could start placing lies in there. And, you know, occasionally you get caught out, but I found that you could hide more lies in there than what you got found out. Like you've never been a teenager and you never lied. Like, really. And then I realized that you could hide more than just lies in there. You could hide all sorts of things in there. You could hide lots of emotions in the darkness. You could hide all kinds of bitterness towards others, unforgiveness. You could hide in there. I realized that you could hide anger in there. that you'd hide disappointment in there. You can hide all kinds of things in the dark. And so something that I once was afraid of, because I didn't know what was lurking there, I started to welcome as a friend because I knew exactly what was there because I was placing it there. And then I realized that as I was placing emotions in there, that I could place habits in there. Things that I did that I didn't want anyone to know about, I could hide in there. I could hide all kinds of things. Things that I didn't want anyone to know of. And then after a point of time, the reality hit that I was putting so many things within the darkness of my life that I started to feel guilty. I started to feel ashamed. And the more guilt that I felt and the more shame that I felt, I realized that there was no way that I would ever trust anybody to look into that darkness. It was too messy. It was too cluttered. It was too full of embarrassment. And I just did not want anyone to come near my darkness. Maybe it's just me. And so once what I was afraid of became a friend, and now it becomes something that terrifies me again. Because if you were to shine a light in my darkness, there'll be all sorts of things in there that I don't want you to see. Isn't that what happens in life? As we move through childhood to teenagehood into adulthood, isn't that why some of us do things in secret and we keep on placing things in the dark? And then we realize that we need more room because we're putting so many things in the dark that darkness just starts to envelop our whole life. That bitterness that we put in about one person comes through and starts to leak out onto other people. That shame that we feel about one thing starts to spread out to shame about other things. That habit that we put in and we start to worship as something that's important to us starting to be a habit and starts to become an addiction. Welcome to church this morning. So the dark that we fear as a young person becomes the friend that we hide things in as a teenager, that becomes a trap that we find ourselves in adulthood. Because the darkness hides secrets. The darkness hides fear. The darkness creates an environment where we are trapped in a cycle of doing the same things that we've always done. And I want to bring to you this morning that our Father God, that His heart is for our good, and His heart is to bring His light upon our darkness. His heart is for our good. His heart is wanting to bring light into our darkness. And we've got two responses that we can do when we think about God shining His light on our darkness. We can hate it and run away from it, or we can see it as the blessing that it's intended to be, and we can let Him shine away. And so when I was 16 years old, I was sick of the things that I was hiding in my darkness. And I'd like to tell you that in that moment I gave my life to Christ, that He just shined His light over every area of my life and everything was fixed. But what I found was that God was gentle and that God was kind. And that he would just shine his light on a little and let me deal with it. And then he would shine his light on a little bit more. And then I'd have to deal with that and walk in his grace and his love to overcome that. And then he would shine his light just a little bit further. And as I've traveled now walking with God longer than I haven't, God is still doing that process in my life. He is still shining his light just a little bit further into the corner of my room, exposing the next thing that he knows is there and it is not for my good, so that he can bring his goodness and his love and his peace into my life. And I'd say that's exactly what he wants to do with you. So we're going to read some scripture now that's just going to highlight this. We're going to pull a little bit apart and then we're going to wrap it all up. We're in 1 John, that's our series. We're looking at John 1, 5 to 10. I'm going to read it and then I'm going to pull it apart a little bit, verse by verse. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's a DC Talk song going in my head right now, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love the alls in this passage. And if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. I think I could read that 10 times and I don't think I'd fully get it, what he's trying to say. But let's start with the obvious. It says at the very beginning, if you can go back to the very first thing, that God is light. This is what we've heard from Jesus himself, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So what does that mean? Well, God is light means that by his very nature, he wants to reveal and expose. Because that's what light does to the darkness. If you are scared of the dark, get a light. How many kids have those little glow lights in the hallway? We used to have them throughout our house so our kids would feel okay about the dark. Some people don't grow out of the little glow lights. And that's not a judgment, that just means that there's fear there. And so God's desire, if he is the light, is to dispel darkness, to reveal, to expose what is going on inside you and me. We've got to understand that this is God's nature. That God doesn't want you stuck in the dark. That God doesn't want you to have all the burdens and all the issues and all the secrets that you have in your life. He wants to, with his love and grace, reveal them and allow you to move into a new place of being. By his very nature, he exposes and reveals that which is not of him, so that we can be of him. God is light. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. God, by his nature being light, means that he wants to guide us. There's a passage in the Psalm that says that the Lord is a lamp unto our feet, that God wants to guide us along the path of it. So not only does he want to expose and reveal what is real in our life, but he wants to guide us to the right way so that we can have life and life in all its fullness. And so God, by his very nature, wants to guide us to his place of truth. And we've got to understand that not only does he want to expose, but he wants to guide. And lastly, when we say that God is light, that he wants to bring freedom. Anyone tried running at night with no lights in the bush? It's not fun. Try running in the bush during the day. Well, just running is not fun, but you know, you can see where you're going. It gives you freedom to go wherever you like. And when we're living in God's light, we get God's freedom that comes because we have no darkness around us that limits us. And so when we say that God is light, we're saying that God wants to expose by his nature and reveal the truth in our life. He wants to guide us on the place where he wants us to be, and he wants to bring freedom into us. It goes on and it says this: if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and don't live out the truth. What a powerful statement that is. When we live in darkness, when we walk in darkness, then God, we lie to ourselves and don't live in the truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, I believe it's when we choose actively or subconsciously not want to walk in the light that God has for us, that we don't want God to expose that which is happening in our life, because we're a fear of the embarrassment, we're a fear that we can't trust God, we're in fear that it's not going to work out well with us, and we want to stay safe with our secrets being secret. When we have that attitude, we are walking in darkness because we don't want the light. So if we come with an attitude that we don't want God to expose those things in us, we don't want God to guide us in our life, we don't want God's freedom, we want to stay where we are, we want to keep our secrets secret, we want to keep our darkness dark, we want to stay bitter, we want to stay not forgiving, then we're walking in darkness. And if we actually think we're connected with God in that period of time, these are harsh words. We lie and we do not live in the truth. Now, who are you lying to? You're lying to yourself. Who are you lying to? You're lying to everyone around you. So you can come to church, and I'm glad that you're here. You can sing the songs, and I'm glad that you sing. But if you don't want God to do his transforming work within your life, then you're deceiving yourself. And God's light will not be present in your life. But here he goes on, thanks. He says, but if we live in the light, we have fellowship with one another, we have truth with one another, we have companionship with one another, and we have God purifying us from all sin with the blood of Jesus. So if we choose to walk in the light, we find a depth of fellowship with each other, because we're not trying to pretend that we're something that we're not. We're not trying to pretend that we have a grandiose faith when we don't. We're not trying to hide things away from each other because we're embarrassed about them. But we have genuine fellowship because I am real with you and you are real with me. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more next week. And we have fellowship with God because we're willing to accept the forgiveness that Jesus gave us on the cross. And then he goes on to this. He says, and if we claim to have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Keep on going. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. Just get that. Purify of all unrighteousness. That is the light sanitizing our life. Next one. And if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. You see that this makes sense, that when we want to hide things from God and from each other, we can bring ourselves to a point where we can deceive ourselves. And we can sit in church and you go, you know what, I'm all good. I don't really have any sin going in my life. I keep the Ten Commandments, kind of, sort of, mostly, a little, 9 out of 10, maybe 5 out of 10. And there's one thing I know, that as human beings, we are very good at deceiving ourselves. We are very good at normalizing pain, adjusting our lifestyle to cope with the reality that we want our lifestyle to have. And right here, John is saying, if you do not recognize that you have sin in your life, you're not only lying to yourself, but you make God out to be a liar. Because why did Jesus come if not to save you from your sin? So we've got to get to the point where we're prepared to let God shine his light upon our lives to reveal that sin to us. Now, sin is not just a list in the Bible of what is right and wrong. Sin is whatever God asks you to do and you're not prepared to do. Do you want me to say that again? Sin is anything that God asks you to do that you are not prepared to do. I think I shared this before, but God had been talking to me for a long time, many years, about getting to sleep before the turn of the day. Get to bed before midnight, Barry. And God would say over and over and over again, Barry, I want you in bed before midnight. And it wasn't until I got to a lie in my life and pulled it out was I able to do it. But you know what? There is nothing in the Bible that says that it is sinful to go to bed after midnight. But God was asking me to, and I was refusing to, therefore I was living in sin. So if we come to a point where we think that we are so perfect that we don't sin, then we deceive ourselves. So I want to get this right for you, that the Father's heart is that you're right in the light, that you're exposed by his grace and by his love, that you're right with him within his light, and that you're allowing God to move through it. This is what it says in Luke 12, 2 and 3. This is Jesus' words. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and whatever you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will proclaim from the rooftop. Now, and what's Jesus saying here? He's saying nothing stays a secret forever. Whatever you've got pushed into the darkness of your light, sooner or later it's going to come out. And it's going to be ugly. And we're not impervious to it in the church. We've got very key people within the life of Christendom who the light of God has shined upon them and they've been found wanting with stuff in the dark. And Bill Hybels is just the recent one. Because somewhere along the line, he said to himself, I'm going to keep that hidden. We see, people in Hollywood who have been getting away with things in secret for a long time, all of a sudden now being exposed and it coming out. And I've got to say to you that the secrets in your life and in my life can come out in two ways. They can come out ugly, or they can come out with the grace of God. They can come out ugly, and that is that you be found out for whatever it is that you're looking at on the computer or whatever you're doing behind the scenes, whatever you're doing that nobody else knows about. It can come out because someone is going to catch you out, and that's going to be ugly. Well, you can allow God to bring it to light, and you know what? He will be gentle. And he will be kind and he will be merciful. I had a friend who had quite a colourful past before he became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, and this is quite often, God will stir your heart to get things right. So if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, because Scripture says that you can't be forgiven until you forgive, usually you go around and ask forgiveness from the people that you've been struggling with. Usually the Spirit of God sends you down that path. That's your very first struggle as a Christian. And he had done all that, but God said, you know what? I want you to confess that crime that you did. And he had robbed someone. And he had never been caught. And so he went in to the police station and he goes, you know what? God's convicted me. I've become a Christian. I've done this crime and I need to confess it and I need to acknowledge it. And so they wrote him up. They charged him. They booked him. He was quite prepared to go to jail for as long as he did. But somehow, by the grace of God, he got a good behavior bond and never saw prison. Now, I'm not saying that when your secret comes out, everything's going to come out rosy. But I do know that if it is God who is bringing the secret out, you've got a greater chance for grace and a greater chance for God to do something miraculous than if it comes out the other way. And the other choice, of course, we've got is that we stay in the dark. And this is what Romans 1 says about staying in the dark. So if you stay, you know, this is me putting emphasis around it. You stay in the dark. Instead of worshipping the gracious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people, birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandons them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other, with each other's bodies. And they traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. So what happens if you decide to stay in the dark is that you won't stop worshipping, you just stop worshipping God. And you start worshipping the things in the dark. You start worshipping things that you think will give you life, and all they bring is death and decay. Romans 1 is a warning that our life will continue to spin out of control if we stay in the darkness. But God's heart for us is that we're right in the light. That we stay in the light, that we let him expose and reveal in his kind and his glorious ways those things that are hiding deep down within. So what are you hiding in your dark? As I've been speaking, what are the things that have come to your mind? That if you knew that I had a gift of knowledge and I could tell you what they are, you would run. What are you hiding in the dark? More importantly, do you think that you have no darkness in you at all? Do you go, well, I'm clean. I'm good. Everything that needs to be done has been done in me. I have reached the perfect place of perfection. They're the two extremes that the scripture gives us. So I want to put to you tonight, what are you doing with your darkness? And I know it's not tonight, it's today. Or are you in the place of denial and thinking that you're all good? Because I can tell you, God is still working on my darkness. And I've got a lot of junk out of the way. I've got a lot of things sorted out, which my wife is really happy about, that my kids are really happy about. I've got a lot of stuff that God's dealt with. But to think that I have nothing left, that God's done all the revealing that He's going to do, that I've got no sin left in my life, I'm deceiving myself if I think that way. So how do you let God shine His light on your life? I'm going to give you three things: humility, repentance, and consequences. Humility, repentance, and consequences. First of all, you've got to come to a place of humility where you bow down before God, where you realize that you can't do this alone, where you realize that your darkness has got so dark that you need help, that you can't do it in your own strength. You cannot clear out that cupboard. You cannot clear out that corner without the help of God and His family. That's why James says, confess your sins to one another, not because he wants us to be morbid, because he knows that we need each other's help. That's why small groups are so important in this place, because we need each other's help. We've got to come to a place of humility where we go, you know what? I can't do this. I can't deal with the darkness in me by myself. I can't do it. I need God. I need my family. So you need to be a place of humility. And if you aren't at a place of humility, then you're in a place of denial. And then you need to come to a place of repentance. And this is what the scripture says. If you confess your sins, then he will forgive you. You've got to make amends. You've got to confess the darkness. The only way to bring the light is to acknowledge what you've thrown in that dark corner all these years. And say, you know what, God, I want you to deal with it. Can't do it with myself. And I'm sorry that I've hidden it for so long. Come and move and do something. And the third thing is be prepared to pay the consequences. Because your darkness has consequences. And God doesn't take the consequences away. We wish that He would. That we didn't have to confess that we've been doing what we've been doing to the people that we love. But we do. And we've got to, with humility and repentance, accept the anger and the pain and the struggle that is to come. And we can let our fear of those consequences keep us in the dark. We can have the fear of the repentance. Will God still love me? God knows what's in your darkness. And He still loves you. So you've got to come with humility. And you've got to come with repentance. And you've got to know that there's always going to be a price. And God, by His gracious love, might dull down the consequences, like He did for my friend. But the consequences are still there. So people of God, the Father's heart is that you be children of the light, that you walk in the light, that you let the light soak you and heal you and restore you. But really, it's your choice. You can ignore it and stay in the dark, or you can step into the light. Let's pray. Loving God, I'd like to say that there's no one in this room that needs to step out of your darkness, out of darkness into your light. But the reality, all of us in this room need to step out of our darkness and into your light. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge if your Spirit is convicting us. Help us, Lord, not to judge each other because of our darkness, but to be people who are willing to encourage each other into the light. Lord, heal our hearts, renew our minds, so that we can walk free of the things that hinder us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.